This is News. Thanks for joining us. Death, devastation, and anguish are everywhere in the besieged Gaza Strip, where Palestinians are seeing no respite from Israel's relentless air and ground strikes. 15 Palestinians are killed and dozens more injured in an Israeli strike on a UN school, sheltering people from the Jabalia refugee camp in northern Gaza. 4 more Gazans are killed after Israeli bombs rained down on a residential building in Rafah. In Gaza City, an Israeli drone hit the house of the leader of the Hamas resistance movement. Medical facilities are not safe from Israeli bombardment either. The regime has targeted the entrance of Al-Nas Children's Hospital in western Gaza City, killing a number of people who had taken shelter there. Israel's war on Gaza is now in its 29th day. The total death toll nears 9,500, most of them women and children. More than 24,000 people have also been injured. The Hamas resistance movement has described Israeli strikes against hospitals as heinous crimes. Hamas says it holds the U.S. and other Western countries responsible for attacks against Al-Shifa, Al-Quds, and Indonesian hospitals. Hamas added that open U.S. support for Israeli terrorism and the silence of the international community are to blame for these massacres. Hamas said the strikes indicate a plan to fully destroy the medical sector in the already devastated Gaza Strip. The resistance movement also warned of the regime's plan to target more civilian infrastructure and medical facilities. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has conducted missile attacks on Tel Aviv and other areas in occupied Palestinian territories, retaliation for Israeli atrocities in Gaza. Missiles fired by Hamas military wing Al-Qassam Brigade hit Tel Aviv, as well as Sderot and Netivot. That is while resistance fighters continue to engage invading Israeli troops in several areas inside of Gaza, dealing heavy blows to them. The Israeli military has confirmed that 4 more of its soldiers were killed overnight. According to Israeli media, 23 regime troops have been killed since it expanded ground raids in Gaza last Friday. Hamas, however, says the number of Israeli military casualties in Gaza is much higher than what Israel has announced. An international charity organization says more children have been killed in the Gaza Strip over the past weeks than in every other armed conflict annually since 2019. The death toll among children in Gaza may worsen as a result of the ongoing Israeli aggression. Hundreds of children are still trapped under the rubble of residential buildings targeted during Israeli strikes on Gaza, and they have not been rescued yet, which implies the actual death toll could be higher.
Figures reported by the charity organization Save the Children shows the number of children killed in the Gaza Strip as a result of Israel's ongoing aggression has exceeded annual figures related to global conflicts over the past 4 years. The international NGO says that Israel's brutal military attack against Gaza, which began on October 7 in response to an operation by the Palestinian resistance group Hamas, has so far killed more than the annual number of children killed in armed conflicts globally in each of the past 4 years. According to multiple reports, including the Palestinian Health Ministry and the Defense for Children International, DCI, one child is being killed in Gaza every 10 minutes. Euromed Human Rights Monitor said in a press release on October 18 that since the launch of the indiscriminate bombing crusade against Gaza, an average of 100 children have been killed daily. Hundreds of children are still trapped under the rubble of residential buildings targeted during Israel's strikes on Gaza, and they have not been rescued yet, which implies the actual death toll could be higher. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs said in a statement that at least 1,000 children are missing under the rubble in Gaza. The ongoing siege and the relentless bombardment are impeding search and rescue operations.
Gaza has become a graveyard for children. It's a living hell for everyone else. And yet the threats to children go beyond bombs and mortars. And I want to speak briefly now on two of those, water and trauma. The more than 1 million children of Gaza have a critical water crisis. Gaza's water production now, its capacity is at 5%, 5% of its daily output. So child deaths to dehydration, particularly infant deaths to dehydration, are a growing threat.
The UN Child Rights Committee has strongly condemned the killing of children in the Gaza Strip, as Israel continues its relentless bombardment of the besieged territory. The committee also condemned the escalation of attacks by Israel against civilian targets in the Gaza Strip. It said grave human rights violations against children are mounting by the minute in the territory.
The UN Committee on the Rights of the Child has also issued a statement saying grave human rights violations against children are mounting by the minutes in the Gaza Strip. The statement says armed conflict harms children first and foremost and has lifelong effects on their physical and mental health, their development, and ultimately the enjoyment of all their rights. Children are also harmed when they survive, but lose parents and other family members and friends, and also witness catastrophic events. The committee has also called for an end to the devastating harm that's being leveled on children's lives in the occupied Palestinian territory. It has also called on all parties to protect all children and to provide all the necessary medical and protective support, including psychological support, to begin the long process of overcoming the consequences of these grave violations.
Then, of course, we have the trauma. When finally the fighting stops, the cost to children and their communities is going to be borne out for generations to come. Before this latest escalation, before it, more than 800,000 children in Gaza, that's three quarters of the entire child population of Gaza, were identified as needing mental health and psychological support. Again, that's before this latest nightmare.
In a desperate move, Palestinian children and their parents have started writing their names on their bodies in black ink so that they can be identified in hospitals if they are killed or injured in Israeli strikes. Children pulled from the wreckage of buildings are sometimes unrecognizable due to grave injuries. Heartbreaking photos of children lying on steel trays inside Gaza hospital morgues with their sleeves or legs of trousers pushed up to reveal their names have been going viral on social media. The UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, said in a report last Tuesday that almost every child in Gaza has been exposed to deeply distressing events and trauma.
We're talking about children witnessing their parents, their families, their sisters and brothers being killed in front of them, their houses, their communities disappearing in a split second. This has a big toll on their emotional, psychological, and mental health.
The report highlighted that children are experiencing widespread destruction, relentless attacks, displacement, and severe shortages of essential necessities like food, water, and medicine. The report added that without stable electricity and fuel supplies, essential facilities like hospitals, desalination plants, and water pumping stations cannot work properly.
It's interesting, Amy, we have a formula at the United Nations that is applied to virtually every other conflict situation. But when it comes to the situation in Israel and Palestine, there's a different set of rules, apparently. And that's, I think, a big source of my frustration. Where is the transitional justice process? Where is the UN protection force to protect all civilians? Where is the tribunal for accountability? Where is the action on the part of the Security Council, the only mechanism in the United Nations that has enforcement to ensure protection in the occupied territories?
The Secretary General of the Hezbollah Resistance Movement says Israel's war on Gaza must end immediately. Said Hassan Nasrallah said the first goal of the resistance is ending the Israeli onslaught, and the second is to ensure the victory of resistance. He also said that Israel cannot achieve its stated goals against the resistance, and the final victory belongs to Palestinians. Nasrallah said Palestinian sacrifices will have a great impact on the future of the whole region. He said the threats against Hezbollah by Israel and its main supporter, the U.S., will not change Lebanon's stance in supporting Palestinians. Nasrallah warned the U.S. and Israel not to make any move against Lebanon.
The behavior of the Zionist enemy towards Lebanon. Once again, I warned them. From some of the bombings which targeted some civilians who fell as martyrs. This might lead us once again to strike a civilian if our civilians are struck. So, what the Israelis do towards Lebanon will also determine how we will act. I say very clearly, openly, and also with constructive ambiguity, I say that all options are on the table on the Lebanese front. I say that all options are on the table, and we can adopt any option at any time.
Nasrallah elaborated on the options by saying that Hezbollah is prepared to act against U.S. Navy ships in the Mediterranean and is not intimidated by their presence. He said the U.S. is entirely responsible for the war in Gaza and called Israel merely an executive tool. Nasrallah also said Hezbollah operations against Israel are significant and unprecedented in history. He added that the operations have forced Israel to divide its focus and troops and also resulted in the evacuation of dozens of settlements. Iran's foreign minister says Israel must immediately end the genocide in Gaza and humanitarian aid must enter the territory on a large scale. Hossein Amir Abdollahian made the remark in a phone call with his British counterpart. The top Iranian diplomat said the root cause of the current crisis is the Israeli occupation. Abdollahian said that Palestinians are entitled to fight the regime's occupation under international law. He also touched on Britain's support for Israel, saying London must adopt a pragmatic approach to regional developments. The British Foreign Minister, for his part, called for Iran's efforts to prevent the spread of war in the region. James Cleverly also called the process of cooperation between the two countries important within the framework of diplomatic contentions or conventions. Iranians have turned out in droves across the nation to hold rallies marking National Students' Day, which is the anniversary of the 1979 U.S. Embassy takeover in Tehran, also known as the National Day of Fight Against Global Arrogance. Every year on November 4th, Iranians throng the streets to vent their anger at Washington's hostility toward their country over the past four decades. In the capital, Tehran, the protesters gathered just outside of a building that used to be the U.S. Embassy. Addressing the demonstrators, Parliament Speaker Mohammad Bagheer Ghalibaf denounced the U.S. as the main culprit behind crimes committed in occupied Palestine. He added that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu himself will perish in the atrocities that his regime has been carrying out against the Palestinians. He said operations by the resistance front have exposed and shattered the Israeli regime's hollow power. Syrians and Palestinian refugees in Damascus have joined their voices to protest against the Israeli aggression on Gaza.
Outraged Syrians and Palestinians gathered in the Yarmouk refugee camp in Damascus to support the people of Gaza against the brutal atrocities committed by the Israeli regime.
We have gathered today in Yarmouk camp to send a message of solidarity to our resilient brothers and sisters in Gaza who are bravely paving the way back to Palestine with their blood. We assure them that they are not alone. The Arab peoples, the resistance front, and the free people of the world stand with you.
We will liberate every part of Palestine by God's will. We express our gratitude to Syria and Mr. Bashar al-Assad for supporting us and taking an honorable stance. We tell everyone that our people will not die by the grace of God.
Protesters voiced their anger towards Western powers that have been supporting Israel's war crimes, specifically the recent massacre in the Jabalia refugee camp, which violates all laws, norms, and human ethics.
What happened in Jabalia and previous Israeli massacres provide clear evidence of regional and international collusion, but Gaza will not be left alone.
We say to Netanyahu and Joe Biden, come with all the strength and weapons you have by land, sea, and air. By God, we have prepared fighters who embrace martyrdom as fervently as you cling to life. Victory will be ours.
Demonstrators rejected the Israeli displacement projects and emphasized their absolute faith in Gaza's victory over injustice, pledging to defend Palestine and its nation's sanctities.
Cruelty, savagery, and monstrosity are words that no longer suffice to describe the Israeli criminality. But Syrians completely recognize these crimes, and once again, they confirm their resolute support for Palestine and the resistance. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
No one is spared as the Israeli war in Gaza rages on, not even those with supposed international protection. Two more journalists have been killed during the regime's airstrikes in the beleaguered strip. The Palestinians laid to rest Palestine TV journalist Mohammad Abu Hattab alongside 11 of his family members. They were all killed during the Israeli bombardment of Khan Yunis in southern Gaza. Another journalist also fell victim to the deadly airstrikes targeting Al-Shifa Hospital in northern Gaza. According to Palestinian sources, 39 journalists have been killed in Israeli attacks on Gaza since October 7. We've conducted an interview with Hamas representative in Iran, Khaled Kadoumi. He tells us about his canceled interview with France 24, or France 24, and accusations of anti-Semitism against Hamas.
They have requested the interview from me in person, and when I gave them the time for that, they They came, it was a Sunday, and it was an off day in Paris. And then when I wanted to enter into the studio, in front of the camera, the chief bureau has received a call from his boss, who came from his house, to inform them from Paris on Sunday off night that you are not allowed to give the opportunity or the platform of France 24 for the speech of Hamas. They accused us as terrorists. They are the terrorists. They claim the freedom of speech. There is nothing called freedom of speech. What anti-Semitism? Blinken himself has declared that he is a Jew, and because he is a Jew, he is defending Israel. They are saying it is Jewish state. We are fighting against Israel. They are putting themselves as representative of Jewish. We need our brothers and sisters from Jewish religion outside Israel to raise their voice and say explicitly that Israel does not represent the Jews.
And that is it for World News. Bye-bye for now.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
In the limelight.
A quiet revolution is taking place to incorporate the cost of biodiversity loss into economic planning. It needs researchers to be engaged. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. Nature wrote, Earth is at the start of a mass extinction event. Estimates show that species are disappearing at 100 to 1,000 times the rate of naturally occurring extinctions. It will be the sixth such event in Earth's 4.5 billion year history. Unlike the previous five, this one has been precipitated by the actions of one species, humans. The 15th of the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, SDGs, agreed by the United Nations, which Nature is covering in a special series, aims to reverse this looming crisis on land. SDG 15th aims are to protect, restore, and promote sustainable use of terrestrial ecosystems, sustainably manage forests, combat desertification, and halt and reverse land degradation and halt biodiversity loss. Nature continued, as we have already reported in this series, progress towards a similar goal, SDG 14, to protect life below water, is going backwards. SDG 15 is also nowhere near on track. In 2019, the Intergovernmental Science Policy Platform on Biodiversity and Ecosystem Services, IPBES, an organization similar to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, reported that ecological communities on land have lost more than 20% of their original biodiversity, and that millions of terrestrial species are likely to become extinct by 2100. The greatest driver of this loss is conversion of land on an industrial scale for human use, especially by agribusiness and industry. Every year, human activities are costing the world around 100 million hectares of natural land, and about that much forest was lost between 2000 and 2020. There is a small silver lining. The number of countries that are tracking biodiversity as part of their official statistics has been steadily increasing. One of SDG 15's targets, tracking, is necessary, but on its own, it is only a partial answer. A bigger issue is that the cost of environmental damage, such as biodiversity loss, rarely factor into countries' official calculations of income and wealth. If anything, clearing a forest to build housing, grow crops, or construct infrastructure to exploit fossil fuels is considered a net economic gain. An analysis of progress towards the 17 SDGs in 99 lower-income nations, published this year, confirms this. Gains in reducing poverty and improving human welfare have come at a high price to the environment. The current system is weighed towards destruction, not preservation. Now is an important moment to make a quiet revolution louder. For decades, researchers and policymakers have worked painstakingly to integrate environmental indicators more closely with economic ones. Their project, the System of Environmental Economic Accounting, or SEEA, has become the world's standard for measuring nature's contribution to the economy and the impact of economic activity on the environment. It was adopted by the UN in 2012. Was updated in 2021 and is now in use in 92 countries and rising. The SEEA measures the stocks of environmental assets such as a country's forest and mineral resources along with flows such as the quantity of water consumed by industry. Most countries report these results in satellite accounts, which measure economic sectors that are not considered industries in national accounts. Australia, for instance, publishes a national state of the environmental report every 5 years. Uganda measures how much land is covered by grasslands, woodlands, and commercial farmlands, as well as the extent of suitable habitat for important species, such as she tree and the African cherry. This hard work has paid off. These data, watched and used by researchers and policymakers in conservation-related fields, are now on the radar of those in finance and economic decision-making roles. The UN Statistics Division, based in New York City, is seeking expert comments on the next revision to the System of National Accounts, SNA. This is the international statistical standard used to measure economic activity. consumer and government spending, and investments by businesses. There have been just three revisions in the SNA 7-year history. Now, questions about how the SNA can account for environmental sustainability along with well-being are being considered. If the SEEA and the SNA can be linked more closely, this could lead economic policymakers to pay closer attention to biodiversity loss, climate impacts, and other costs. This revision is a chance for researchers and others who care about these issues to have their say. Make no mistake, the cost of failing to account for the environment are high, and they are here now, but they are hidden from our daily lives and concerns. A systematic approach to addressing these trade-offs is not the only answer to achieving the SDGs, but it is necessary. Properly resourcing national statistical offices to coordinate environmental accounts is also essential. Those who make economic policy decisions need to see the environmental wealth that is being whittled away as a direct result of those decisions. Only then do we stand even a remote chance of halting the sixth mass extinction event.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is Hussein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. We were talking about the concept of mankind in the Holy Quran, and we said that according to the Holy Quran, mankind, in order to reach the position of mankind, should pass a journey towards that perfection, and that journey had different necessities. One of them was the righteous act, and we said there are different dimensions for the righteous act. One of them was the appearance of the righteous act, then was the intention, and then was the direction. And we were talking about the intention and the importance of intention for the acts, and we said that the concept of riya, showing off, and also ikhlas, purification of action, are repeated in the Holy Quran. And we said that it's not possible for us to purify our actions fully, but the thing that we can do is that we start and we show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we tried our best and we ask for His help to purify our actions. And it is wrong to fall into the trap of shaitan to refrain from good acts because of the fear of the ostentation and show off. And there is a hadith in this regard that says, "Innamal a'malu binniyat." The main part of the action is the intention. وَلِكُلِّ امْرَئٍ مَا نَوَى. Anyone, the share of the action that we have is the niyyah, or the intention that we have from it. If a person, this is one example given into hadith, that if a person goes to jihad, to battlefield, with the intention of gaining some, things, worldly materials or booties of the war, then his action is worthy of that. If a person goes to take, at that time, the booties of the war were like animals, the dung, then his jihad is worthy of that dung. And if he is killed in that way, he is the a killed person in the way of donkey, for example. Or if a person goes to jihad in order to help the religion of Allah, وَلْيَنْصُرَنَّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَنْصُرُهُ, then the whole situation is different. And we have it in our moral judgments as well. We judge people, if you know the intention of people, then your judgment completely changes. As we said the example, like you see a person giving a flower to a child, you say, oh, how nice it looks. But then if you know that a person is doing that in order to deceive the child, everything changes and it becomes evil. There's a hadith that says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنَا خَيْرُ الشَّرِكَانِ, I am the best of partners. If somebody mix me with another person or entity in his action, I give the whole action to another entity, to that partner. For example, if you pray, and just one act of that prayer is for ostentation or for show-off, and our fuqaha has issued fatwas on this, that the whole prayer is for Allah. Like even the start of the prayer was for Allah, anything. But just at the middle of the prayer, I think that if I raise my voice, that person who is passing by listens to me and I become a nice person in his eyes. And just I raise my voice. Just one little part of my prayer is for show off. The whole prayer is invalid because none of them is, it's like they say, it's like a drop of blood in a container of water that makes the whole water najis, impure. The same thing is true with riya, ostentation. So this is the role that it has. And also in the verses of the Quran, we have ostentation and we have riya. Inshallah, after the break, we're going to cover some of those verses that Quran talks about show off in the acts of people.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to your program for Humanity. We were talking about ikhlas, purification, and ostentation, riya in the acts. And we said, according to the verses of Quran, what matters is the action, is the intention of the people in their actions. So there's a verse that says, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ, on the day that wealth and children are not going to help you. Like if you have many children and if you have the biggest tribe on earth, you have many families, many relations, many links, the links are not going to help you. And also the wealth, not going to help you. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, only those who have a healthy heart. مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ, they bring a healthy heart to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does it mean, قَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, healthy heart? In a hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, qalb al-salim means al-niyat al-sadiqa, a sincere intention for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who have sincere intention for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are going to get redemption and that eternal salvation. But those who have riya, those who have ostentation, show off, no. There is a verse in Quran, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهُ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَ يُرَاؤُونَ النَّاسِ. One of the signs of munafiqun, hypocrites, those who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in reality, but they show off, is that their prayer is show off. Hypocrisy is this, that you're not integrate. You show something which you don't have it in the heart. So one of the main features of munafiqun is this, is riya. So all cases of riya are nifaq? No. All cases of ostentation are not nifaq. A person came to the Prophet and said, halaktu, I'm perished. And the Prophet said, why? He said, I have the fear that I have nifaq in myself. And the Prophet said, how? He said, I don't know, because riya is very difficult to get rid of. The Prophet said, don't you pray when you're alone? sometimes? He said, yes, sometimes I'm alone and I pray. The Prophet said, that's enough. So we should be careful when we receive some warnings, we don't fall into disappointment. It's true that we should be careful about the intentions that we have, and also subconsciously there are elements of riya and ostentation, but it doesn't mean all the acts that a person does is out of hypocrisy. No, there are acts that a person does solely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we should learn to invest in that area and get rid of the show off that is very hidden in our actions. In another verse, it says, الَّذِينَ يُنفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ رِئَاءَ النَّاسِ. They give charity, but they do it for people to praise them, for people to think how nice they are. Right? For example, I give money and I want everyone to know it because I want them to think how kind I am, how, I don't know, how generous I am. And then Quran says, وَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Those who does something like that, they don't believe in the Day of Judgment. If a person truly believes in the Day of Judgment, who wouldn't do that? And another verse, يَا يَلَذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْتُلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى كَالَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَا لَهُ رِئَاءَ النَّاسِ. There are two categories of people whose actions are in vain, whose actions don't have any result. What categories? The first category are those who do minna. Minna means to bring it into the face of the person. You do a favor to a person and you bring it to the face of that person. Here and there, I'm the one who did this favor to you. This is not right. This makes your action go in vain. This makes your action equal to nothing in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people who do ostentation and show off. You do something, but you do it with the intention of other people judging you nicely. We seek refuge to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all these vices. And we ask Him to help us to have sincere intentions and purified actions due to His help, inshallah. Thank you very much for listening, and inshallah, I hope you join me next episode to talk about different aspects of righteous act according to the verses of the Holy Quran. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu ala Nabi, sallallahu ala Muhammad, wa ala Nabi. Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
There are fears that the UK, which is suffering from structural economic conditions, factors related to the underlying weakness of the UK economy, and the fallout from Brexit, will leave the UK behind while most other developed economies expand. Concerning this issue, we have taken a look at world media for further details. Please stay with us to hear more about the story. The Guardian reported the recent rise in interest rates has been blamed for ending Britain's wealth boom and causing total household wealth to plunge by a quarter since the COVID-19 pandemic. A report by the Resolution Foundation, a think tank, and Financial Fairness Trust, an independent charity historically funded by Standard Life, now known as Aberdeen, said the fall was due to a drop in the house prices and pension pots, which account for about £4 out of every £5 of total wealth, and played a leading role in rising wealth across the country over the 40 years leading up to the pandemic. However, both have fallen in value since the Bank of England started raising interest rates in December 2021. While total household wealth was worth 840% of gross domestic product, GDP, in 2021, it had tumbled to 630% of GDP this year. Ian Mulhern, a research associate at the Resolution Foundation, said, "Interest rate rises have ended Britain's wealth boom and caused total household wealth to plummet since the pandemic. Higher rates have increased the cost of mortgages, resulting in subdued demand from borrowers, which has in turn forced sellers to lower house prices. Pension funds are large holders of government bonds, the prices of which have fallen as investors demand a higher rate of return due to rising inflation expectations. The Bank of England is due to announce its next interest rate decision in coming days. While policymakers are most likely to hold the base rate at 5.25%, the prospect of higher for longer interest rates suggests Britain's household wealth could continue to erode. Resolution Foundation explained that the impact was likely to be uneven and would vary across ages and regions. For example, a fall in total wealth tends to be good news for younger people who are able to buy homes at a cheaper price and who will get a better rate of return on bonds bought today rather than a few years ago. But falling house prices could be bad news for people who already own a home in cheaper areas, such as Scotland, Wales, and north of England, given that it could more quickly put some households at risk of falling into a negative equity, where the property is worth less than the remaining value of the mortgage. Mulhern said regional disparities were already apparent. Mulhern added, "The impact of this fall has not been spread evenly across the country, with less wealthy areas like Scotland, Wales, and the north of England seeing the biggest wealth falls, and high house price areas like the south and east of England and the lowest." He added, while the situation may change in the future, these regional disparities again highlight the need for a range of reforms to insulate households against wealth volatility that transfers resources between generations based on luck. Fairer and more effective taxation of wealth is a critical part of that agenda, with Britain's biggest wealth tax, council tax, in particular need of reform to make it more fairly targeted and less regressive. Meanwhile, the Daily Mail writes, according to new figures, one in four UK households living in social housing was forced to go without heating at times last winter to reduce the cost of record high energy bills. The number of households living in temperatures below 18 degrees for periods last winter climbed by about 240,000 compared with the winter before, raising concerns among fuel poverty charities that rocketing energy bills are posing a risk to people's health. The data was collected from smart thermostats fitted in about 20,000 households in social housing developments by the energy analytics firm Suichi. It showed that 23.5% did not heat their homes for a period of at least 1 week last winter, compared with 17.4% the year before. The company analyses billions of data points to provide social housing landlords with insights that can help to improve the energy efficiency of properties, but its analysis uncovered a rising number of households living in cold homes. It also said households that do not heat their homes to at least 18 degrees Celsius lead to higher NHS admissions and are at greater risk of mold. The National Energy Action, a fuel poverty charity, said many more people may be forced to go without heating this winter after the government cut back on support payments. Adam Scorer, the chief executive of National Energy Action, said this new data paints a chilling picture of what happened last winter and what's happening again now in millions of homes across the whole of UK. He added people in all tenures are using less but are still paying more. Millions are underheating their homes to the point it could be dangerous to their health or even fatal. The findings have emerged after experts warned that low-income tenants will face higher energy bills as a result of the government's decision to scrap plans to force private landlords to upgrade their properties to make them more energy efficient. UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak recently dropped a requirement for landlords to meet stricter energy efficiency standards alongside plans to scrap or delay of a range of green measures, which he said imposed a direct cost on consumers. Scorer said beyond the money needed to afford heating, we are also seeing people not able to cook a hot meal or not using hot water for washing. There are people who can't afford to refrigerate their food or medicines and people relying on candles for light. Furthermore, The Independent reports a new study has shown that Britain's cost of living crisis, which mainly results from the government's economic policy, is projected to cause thousands of premature deaths this year. The results of the research were published by the BMJ Public Health Journal. The study showed that the cost of living crisis and sustained period of high prices will reduce life expectancy across the country by 6.5% this year. The predicted increase in premature death from a baseline of 463 per 100,000 people to 493 per 100,000 equates to thousands of extra deaths per year in the UK. The study concludes that the most deprived households will experience four times more extra deaths than the wealthiest households, with the poorest having to spend a large proportion of their income on energy, the cost of which has soared. Evidence shows low income is associated with poor health, and that falls in income adversely affect health. The economic prospects of Britain are rather grim. A report by the Washington-based Peterson Institute for International Economics forecasts that the UK economy will shrink this year and in 2024, with a drop in GDP this year of 0.3%, to be followed by a fall of 0.2% next year. There are fears that the UK, which is suffering from structural economic conditions, factors related to the underlying weakness of the UK economy, and the fallout from Brexit will leave the UK behind, while most other developed economies expand. The UK was also suffering from an unequal recovery that benefited better-off households, while the bottom half of the income basket continue to be affected by falling real incomes. Persistent inflation, falling real incomes of low-income households, and a shortage of workers will result in a drop in the country's gross domestic product. Cuts to government spending next year will also drag on economic growth. The economic crisis and persistent inflation has caused trouble for the ruling Tories in the UK. Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's popularity has fallen to its lowest levels ever. Some 68% of Britons currently have an unfavorable view of the Prime Minister, the highest figure since becoming Prime Minister, but only 23% have a favorable view of him.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and informative hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Ali alayhi salam, This hadith is about the consequences of obstinately holding one's own opinion regarding an issue or a matter. As you know, in Islam, one of the virtues and one of the things which has been very strongly advised is consultation, or what we call in Arabic, mushawira, which means that when undertaking an important task, when embarking on a significant job, before, you know, formulating or coming to a decision regarding it, we have been advised to consult with other people and ask their opinion regarding it. Now, this is so important that in the Holy Quran we see that even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who we believe was, you know, the wisest and most sagacious of all human beings on this earth, even he was advised to consult with, you know, his companions and others before, you know, coming to a decision regarding an issue. In the Holy Quran, we read, "Washawirhum fil amr," and consult them regarding the issue. "Wiza azamta fatawakkal ala Allah," and when you come to a decision, then trust in Allah and embark on the matter. Conversely, it is not good to be obstinate regarding one's own opinion. If you have come to a decision regarding something and people are telling you that, you know, what you're trying to do or what you have, your decision is wrong, it's very bad to obstinately hold on to it and not listen to others' opinion. Like, for example, let's give a common example of this. A lot of times youth, they become acquainted with a person, another person, and they want to marry them. And, you know, they come to a decision regarding it, and they say that this person, I want to marry them, and, you know, I love them, and it's just something that I'm going to do. I'm not going to listen to anybody regarding, even though, you know, a person's friends may, you know, dissuade him from it. The person's parents may be against it. His brothers and sisters, his friends, everybody may be against it, but, you know, this person, you know, he holds obstinately onto his own opinion. He doesn't listen to anybody regarding this. Is something very wrong, and, you know, obviously it leads to very bad consequences. In this hadith, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "He who obstinately holds his own opinion is ruined. It leads to ruin and destruction. And he who consults other people shares in their collective understanding." So here, in this beautiful hadith, Imam Ali alayhi salam, he alludes to the reason why we have been advised to take, to consult with others, in that when we do so, we share in their knowledge and their understanding, and the chances of mistake and error are reduced when we do this. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the consequences of obstinately holding on to one's own opinion, in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Welcome to Spotlight. The Secretary General of the Hezbollah Resistance Movement, Sayed Hassan Nasrallah, has warned that all options are on the table should the Israelis think of attacking Lebanon. He says a prime goal of the resistance is ending the Israeli onslaught on Gaza and to ensure the victory of the resistance front. He also said Israel cannot achieve its stated goals against the resistance and the